In following the Christmas theme and thought, I want to share a message tonight about the pathway to the King. If you'll turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, look in chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, but I'm going to center our attention mainly on verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Preach about the pathway to the King. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And pay close attention, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I heard a little funny story. I don't tell many stories and things in the pulpit, but this is kind of applies to what we're looking at tonight. There was a story told. I don't know if it's true or not. I just heard it, or somebody told me or something sometime past. About two ladies who were discussing how to get to heaven. And one lady was real adamant about the fact that you had to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he was the only pathway to heaven. The other lady said, No, I don't agree with that. Said there's many paths to get to heaven. Jesus is just one of those paths by which you can get to heaven. She said, It's almost like going down to the post office downtown. There's all kinds of different roads that go in, but said if you take either one of these roads, you'll get to the post office. The other lady said, lady, we're not going to the post office. Amen. 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 We're not going to the post office. We're going to heaven, aren't we? Yes. Indeed we are. Well, this story revolves around what we're going to share tonight. Revolves around these wise men who came from the east to find the Christ child. And, of course, to worship him. Now, I want to clear up some tradition, all right? We hold to tradition sometimes more than we hold to the Word of God. Right. Now, we sing, We Three Kings of Orient Are. The Bible doesn't say these guys were kings. And it also does not say that there was three of them. So you better kind of get this tradition thing and set it aside, and let's get back to what the Bible says. Now, they were not kings by their own title, but now they were very wealthy, wealthy individuals. And the Bible, again, doesn't say if there was three. We know they were wise men, so at least we know it's plural. It's more than one. Could have been three. Could have been more. We don't know. We just really do not know. But we sing about these thoughts and sing about these themes and talk about, we three kings and three wise men, these kind of things. But we really do not know how many came. What we do know about them is these men were stargazers. The Bible's clear on that. They were what we would call today, they were probably the forerunners of our modern day astronomers, those who study the heavens, study the planets and stars and all things in the heavens. So that's what they were doing. And they knew that a king was going to be soon to be born. And the Lord put a star, a special star, in the east. And this star that they noted gave them the go-ahead to find this newborn king. So they strike out on the journey from the east to Bethlehem. Now, the Bible says that the star came and rested right over the very house in where Jesus was. Now, I want you to consider some events in the lives of these men tonight. Consider some events in their pathway to find the king, because some of the same things that they experienced, we have experienced, or we should experience, each and every one of us as well. So there's four things I want to share. First of all, for them to go to a pathway to find the king, they had to exercise persistence. Persistence. Now, we do not know where they came from geographically. It just says wise men from the east. And pretty much reputable Bible scholars pretty much all agree that they came from the country that we would know as Persia. So we'll accept that, I think, and say they came from Persia. These men, as they came on this long trek from Persia to Jerusalem, I cannot imagine what a stir it caused in Jerusalem when on the horizon they see this caravan coming, and they see animals, and they see servants, and they see wise, wealthy men coming to Jerusalem. It caused such a stir that the Bible says that King Herod himself was troubled. Why would it trouble him? He feared his position. And these wise men that came, and in this big, great train of people that they had to bring with them, it might have taken them as much as a year to get from the east in Persia to Jerusalem. And the larger the caravan was, the slower they had to travel, and the more servants and animals and all things they had to have supplies to make their trip. It just took a long time. Travel was very slow in those days. Aren't we glad, thank God, we can appear before the very throne room of the king in an instant? We don't have to make a long trip from east to Bethlehem. We don't have to make some kind of long pilgrimage. We can just bow our heads and bend our knees and talk to our Lord on the throne by His marvelous grace. In an instant, we can do that. But now, they couldn't do that. They had never met the king. They had not known the king. Well, they come to Jerusalem, and they begin to inquire as to where the king was born. And the priests had some knowledge about it, and they quoted the directions that were given way back in the Old Testament. If you'll just listen, I'll read it to you. They gave these wise men, these wealthy men, the directions as to where to find the newborn king. Listen to what they said. And here's a quotation they quoted back from the Old Testament in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." That was information they had. So they shared this information with the wise men as to where to find the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the persistence that these men had to exercise from all the way back in Persia, take this long trek to Bethlehem, and to go to ask the priest where to find the newborn king? And they give him the Old Testament quote from Micah. And then Herod calls them in and he says, "When you find this newborn king, I want you to tell me where he is, that I too may come and worship him." Yeah, right. You know what Herod's intention was. Not worship the king, but to eradicate the king. Well, in serving the Lord today, in your life and mine, it takes persistence to serve the Lord. It's not a hit and miss proposition. It's not hot today and cold tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow, in today, out tomorrow. It takes persistence by the grace of God to live the Christian life. They used persistence in finding the King. And beloved, listen, we have to use persistence in living for the King, don't we? So you have to have, first of all, persistence. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 tells us this. It says, do not be sluggish, but imitate those who through faith inherited the promises. These men, through their faith and persistence, they inherited the promise to find the newborn King. So we have to use persistence today in living for the Lord Jesus. But in their pathway to find the King, they didn't just use persistence. They needed guidance. Well, these were not ordinary men. Let me say this. Very wealthy men indeed. But most of us Christians today, we're rather ordinary people, aren't we? And we do things in probably an ordinary fashion. And most of us are not very wealthy. But these men are quite the, I guess, contrary to what we would say of us today. Listen, but every single one of us has a blessed privilege of having the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. They had a star. God put a star in the east to guide them. They needed guidance to find the King. And God put a star in the heaven, in the east. They traveled following the star guiding them to the very place where Jesus was. How does God guide us? We need guidance just as much as they do, or they did. We have the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit of God to draw us, the Word of God to teach us and to guide us. Really, it's no use traveling if you don't know where you're going. Is there? They knew kind of where they were going. They were going from the east to find the King. They were following a star God had put in the heavens. Since these men were star studiers, we would say stargazers, astronomers would be the good word today. The star moved and they followed the star. The star was a perfect guide to give them guidance to find the King. There's no better way to find the King today than through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Listen, I want you to be careful. When they came to find the King, they came through the guidance of the star. And the star came and rested, the Bible says, over the very house where our Lord Jesus was. Now, they had to follow this star day by day. God didn't send them a GPS coordinate. God didn't send them even a map to trek the place where Jesus was. All they had to guide them was the star that God gave them. And they had to follow the guidance of that star day by day until they came to the place where Jesus was. And you notice something. That star guided them to their appointed destination. Can you get where I'm going? Listen. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. We have to follow the Word and the Spirit on a day-by-day basis. And I promise you, just as it brought those men to their appointed destination, the Spirit of God and the Word of God will bring us to our appointed destination, and we'll find the King too, face-to-face one day, won't we? Indeed, we will. So they needed guidance as well as we need guidance as well. Many times God uses in our lives to help guide us. In addition to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, sometimes God uses people to guide us. I thank God for the people that's crossed my path of life and who's helped me to guide me into certain places and things that I might have had a pitfall over here somewhere, but they guided me around it. God uses people in our lives, doesn't He? And God uses sometimes circumstances in our lives to guide us from where we are to where God wants us to be. Well, here it is. With the star. Here we are with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Listen to me. Beware ignoring the Word of God and beware ignoring the Spirit of God. If you ignore the Word and the Spirit, your life's going to go awry. I can promise you of that. So, four things I said we need to pathway to find the King. We need, first of all, persistence. And we need guidance. But I want you to see something else that was really struck out in my memory about this passage. We need to use generosity. When these wise, wealthy men came and found Jesus, the Bible says they presented gifts unto Him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Very wealthy gifts, extraordinary gifts, super gifts they gave King Jesus. Now, we don't have the kind of gifts monetarily or financially that these men had to give to our Lord, do we? But listen to me. If what you have to give to the Savior is given from a heart and a heart of generosity, our Savior will accept your gift and He'll bless it and bless others with it. Let me give you some examples. You remember the story not long ago we preached about the feeding of the 5,000? You remember that story, how that Andrew met the young lad who had the five loaves and a few fishes? And that little young man out of his heart just gave it to the Lord. And God took those few loaves and fishes and He blessed them and He broke them and He fed over 5,000 people. And there were 12 baskets full of food left over when everybody had all they wanted to eat. You see how God takes gifts, even humble gifts, and God blesses them? Let me give you another example. You remember when Mary came in to Jesus and had the very expensive bottle of perfume or ointment, and she poured it upon Jesus' feet and wiped His feet with her hair. And the Bible says that the aroma of that expensive ointment filled the whole room, and everybody in that room was blessed. So you see, whether it's an expensive gift or a relatively non-expensive gift, if it's given from the heart, our God will accept it, and He'll bless it, and He'll bless others with it. But when you come to the King, listen to me, you've got to bring gifts. You've got to give something. When you come to worship the King, nobody comes before the King and doesn't bring a gift to give Him. Do you remember the story when Queen of Sheba came to see all the wisdom of Solomon? What did she do? She brought untold gifts to present to King Solomon. So when you come to worship the King, you've got to bring a gift. No better time that I know of than the Christmas season to bring our gifts to the King. We're going to emphasize foreign missions throughout this month. What a wonderful time for us to be as generous as we possibly can to give to our wonderful Lord, that He might take our gifts and even break them and bless others all around the world. Well, they gave the gifts to Mary and Joseph and King Jesus of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now you know that Joseph and Mary were poor, don't you? They were peasants, very poor. But they had to make a sudden, unplanned, unscheduled trip. They had to go to Egypt to flee Herod because he was seeking to kill King Jesus. I can't prove this, but I believe this, that the gifts that these wise men gave Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I think those gifts were so substantial that Joseph had enough of them to flee to Egypt and use those expenses to sustain them in living in Egypt until the coast was clear, so to speak, to come back to Jerusalem again. So, it takes generosity. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here a little bit. Everybody's got a right to an opinion, even if it's wrong. God never taught any one of us to be stingy.
That's right.
He never taught any one of us to get, and to keep, and to keep, and to keep. He teaches us to give till it feels good, not till it hurts. Amen? Generosity. If you're on a pathway to the King, bring Him gifts. Give as much as you can. You can't outgive the Lord. I grant you, the more we give, the more He'll pour down that you can give more. Always that's the case. Well, when you give, and God takes our gifts, and He blesses them, and He sends them around the world, just in the shoeboxes we were talking about earlier, you'll never know one day till you get to heaven what the gifts that you gave, what our church gave, what you and I might have given personally, you'll never know till you get to heaven how God took those gifts and blessed those gifts and blessed others throughout all this world with the gift. You know, I really don't want to know till I get to heaven. Might make us proud and puffed up. Look what I did. Look what our church did. I want to say, look what Jesus did. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, on the pathway to the King, they had to use persistence. They had to have guidance, and so do we. And they used great generosity in bringing expensive gifts to the Lord. After all, He owns it all anyway, doesn't He?
Amen.
Never forget that. Notice something else in this passage. They exercise true reverence. Read that verse 11 with me. Just look at it. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child Mary, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The first thing they did when they came in and met the King, they fell down and they worshiped Him. Now that may not sound like too much to you till you understand something. Listen, these men were not Jews. These men were Gentiles. They came from the East, a far distance, from another country, another culture, another land, another life. They were not one of them a Jew. But you see what the great significance of this is? When they came and they found the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped Him, I'm sure they thanked God that God in heaven had sent a Savior into the world to be the Savior of all the world. And listen, He sent Him to Gentiles as well. Aren't you glad we're Gentiles? We were part of that group. That He fell down. They fell down, the Bible says. Their worship to Christ shows great faith to all people, how that God loves us all and God sent a Savior to save us all. When we celebrate Christmas this year, I want to ask you to think about something. Not something you can't do. It's probably something you want to do. And I know you can do, and I'm going to do it. I want to be sure this Christmas that when all of our families together, whatever things we do in the church, that we give God our Father a thank you gift for the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that's ever been given. Our Father gave it to us. And we ought to stop right where we are and thank you, God, for sending our precious Lord Jesus to us. Christmas time should be a time of praise and worship and reverence and a time of giving. Not just to ourselves, but giving to the Lord. As these men did, they had great potential to give, and they gave. We may not have much potential, but if it's given from the heart, that's really what Jesus is looking for, isn't it? Now, when they found the Lord and worshiped Him, notice something. They didn't go back to Herod, as he had demanded them to do, to tell him where the Christ child was. They didn't even go back to Jerusalem and to the priest and tell the priest, "We found the king." And they didn't even tell the priests where Jesus was. Do you know why I think they didn't? They'd found the king. They didn't need anyone else. They didn't need anything else. So they took their train, their caravan, and they turned back east and went back home another way, the Bible says, that Herod didn't even know about. But you imagine when they got home, what they had to share with all the people in Persia. I expect a lot of people knew these men. They were outstanding citizens, no doubt, of that country. They, in their own right, would be as wealthy as some kings. I'm sure when they got back, they did exactly what the shepherds did. I believe they told everybody they came into contact with, "We found the King. We found the Savior. We've worshiped the Savior. God has sent the Savior to the world to save us Gentiles as well as the Jews as well." Beloved, at Christmas this year, don't you go beyond the King. You don't need anything else but the King. You don't need anything but the King. You have Him, you have all you need. Don't go beyond the King. I believe they told everybody they came in contact with about the Savior. "We found the King in Bethlehem of Judea, and His name is Jesus." There's only one King. There's only one Lord of Lords and one King of Kings, and His name is Jesus. What a privilege. What a great privilege is presented to us, isn't it? These four things that were evident in their life as they planned a pathway to find a King involved persistence. It involved guidance. It involved generosity. And it also involved true reverence. I ask myself this question as much as I ask us. Are these qualities in our life? Are these qualities to be seen in our church? If they are, I can promise you this, you will have a very merry Christmas. Amen?